Yo, what's good, people? This is Ovo, and you're listening to another episode of Off the Rails. First and foremost, I want to give a big shout out to my little sister because she's a huge supporter of the podcast, but then also she threatened me. But real talk though, one, because it's your birthday tomorrow, so happy birthday, mama. And two, because she just bagged that law degree. So congratulations, happy graduation, all that good stuff, man. All right, so the regularly scheduled programming, this episode was really important for us to make and really close to our hearts, and we hope you stick around for this and part two. All right. Yes, we're live. All right, before we carry on, it's Father's Day, and it's Four Guys Go Off the Rails. So, I guess that's lucky. I guess, but either way, I think I get very Father's Day is kind of like really important to me because it's like 700 Mother's Days.
There is a lot, and
I love my mom and everything. I feel like with just my, I guess I don't know if it's with the with that generation and women and whatever, but like it's easier to be more open to my emotions around my mother, but I don't get to express feelings for my father often, and so I kind of like prioritize Father's Day because that man is singularly the most influential person in my life. A lot of who I am is him. So figuring out what was going on, a lot of who I am is really my father. Like, I'm a lot of who he is. And there's certain things that. So, yeah, okay.
The thing is not recording.
It's recording, it's just Lou as well.
Okay.
But yeah, I think we're okay. He is singularly someone that, like, has been the most influential individual in my life. So, I hope my father never listens to this podcast. I hope that you never for one day hear any episode. But if you do, happy Father's Day. Love you plenty.
Mr. Odebodi, shout outs.
Yeah.
Mr. Egbedi.
Now's a good time to shout out your pops.
Yeah, even though you never hear this, to be honest.
Shall I suppose we'll hear this?
Definitely.
I'm going to send it to my dad. I'm going to send this episode to him.
Yeah, sure,
so I want to say shout out to my dad, the one of the Jagged Edge Giants. They say, we stand tall standing on the shoulders of giants. So, one of the Jagged Edge Giants. I also shout out to my uncles too, Uncle Dele, Uncle Gwenga, Uncle Lokwai, to all the Jagged Edge men. We all stand tall thanks to you, and we will pray to be strong enough to uphold your legacy.
Amen. Rachel, do you want to shout out your pops, or you're like, nah?
Hell no.
All right, cool. Yeah, all right, cool. Moving on.
That was too fast. Like, fuck that nigga.
All right, so I guess we'll just go on to Shola's.
Don't leave me challenge.
Before you even start, let me think. Is there anything else important before we transition to this brand of madness that you want to present today?
Let me think
if there's anything more important.
This is the most important. This is the most important.
Sorry, bro.
Okay.
Okay, so, all right, go ahead.
Did you time that shit, my nigga?
No, there's no time. Don't worry. It's ready. It's in that drive. I just need you guys to know when I say something, you need to like, ask a question.
Okay.
I say something to you. Like,
excuse me, sir.
Excuse me, sir. Yes, young man, what's up?
Can you give us some knowledge, please?
Some wisdom.
Okay. Yeah.
So, Sunday motivation.
Listen, the other day, my wife was trying to FaceTime me.
Mm-hmm.
She told me that she's trying to connect. Mm-hmm. And recently, we haven't been seeing eye to eye.
Mm-hmm.
Wait now. So, as the FaceTime know they work, tell her, babe, do you know why we can't see eye to eye?
Why?
Because I can't connect to my Wi-Fi.
Don't leave me!
Wait, I'm not going yet. Okay, this one is for geography students.
This one is ridiculous.
This one is for geography students. So those of you that, you know, were paying attention, it's for you. Okay. So we enter the island.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're in the island.
Mm-hmm.
And then the striker on the pitch tried to dribble me. But me, I was keeper. So he tried to dribble me, give me a lap, I caught the goal.
Ooh.
So does that mean that I keep Ella go? Keep Ella go.
Don't go! Don't leave me!
Thank you.
One more before you go.
One more before you go, sir.
Okay, so me and my wife, we finally connected.
Okay.
But she now started talking about her feelings. She said, babe, you don't appreciate me.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you know who I am? I'm a prize.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a present. You're supposed to treat me like Anthony Joshua.
Mm-hmm.
What did Anthony Joshua get with present? She said, look, since I'm a present, I need to box her.
Don't leave me!
I must take my leave.
Please leave us.
Just yeah.
Leave.
No, come back.
Oh god. I just want to leave.
Oh no.
So essentially, this is what we deal with every time.
Yeah. This man came out of the shower.
Yeah.
Ayo, I got two. I was like.
I was in the shower, I was like,
so first of all, did you come out with like clothes on?
Yeah.
So we have to focus on the joke first. But yeah, it was you know, shower.
Okay.
I know that
was like boxer.
Boxer.
Dead.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Anywho, it's another episode of Off the Rails, in case you couldn't already tell.
Yeah.
Craziness has already started, but we're going to quickly introduce ourselves before we start the official episode. It's not going to be ridiculous today, but maybe it might be. So, it's your boy, Ovo, Ovio, all that good shit.
Alright, what's up guys? It's Ayo, aka Alade the Hunter, on a Mellow P today, guys.
Yo, it's your boy, Stag, and recently I've been considering divorcing my wife.
Really? Because of your mom?
Partly, but
mostly.
The gun show is back, so I can actually divorce her.
Okay.
But that was what the gun show is back. So
you're gonna sell it at the gun show? Sell her at the gun show?
Yeah. I mean, she's gonna go to the lawyer and do proceedings.
Oh, okay.
I hope
you signed the prenup.
Yeah, I was about to say that too.
Yeah.
So yeah, what's good, people? The name is Jeffrey. What's good?
No AKs.
No AKA.
No AKs. Auntie.
Oh my god.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
You didn't rehearse your intro.
I didn't. It's Ihoma, Raquel.
Rachel.
Anyone. So.
Okay,
yeah.
There we have it.
It's me.
There you go. Alright, today we want to do a little thing on mental health. We've been meaning to do this for a little while. So hopefully all of y'all will be able to be open and transparent and I guess a little vulnerable today.
Mm-hmm.
So, one more thing I have to say, man. I know that before we get into it, I know that like I'm very, very anyhow with like uploading the episode, right?
Yeah.
And I really want to shout out to there's a bunch of people who always like hit me up personally, like especially Komer, my nigga, always hitting me up like, my guy, where's the episode? She doesn't even say where. She said, where's my episode? Should I come and beg you to upload the episode? And a bunch of other people were like that, so always hitting me up. Obviously, there's a lot of other things going on, so it's not always the easiest thing to just focus on or the only thing to focus on. But I appreciate like all of y'all, because one, it just shows me that like y'all are really fucking with us and y'all like go all the way out to want to hear the episode. That's why y'all bought that. But then also, if not for you people, plus like the team around me, man, let me be honest with you people, man. Episodes will be farther than what you are thinking right now. So thank you for kind of keeping me accountable, because I still didn't misbehave. So that said, we'll try to be more consistent. I'm trying to put a bunch of things in place so that we don't have to have late releases anymore. So we'll finally move over to the content for today and. Jeff or Four?
Actually, my AKA. That's funny enough. Yeah,
there you go.
Four. But yeah, I think like OVO said, we were talking about mental health, and obviously they're not psychiatrists or professionals in the medical field. It's just something we feel that it's not talked about enough in the media, And I think that contributes a lot to the stigma. And due to the high level of stigma on the topic, I think a lot of people that actually come out are scared about it, have this perception, what will people think about me? Mm-hmm. And I think it's actually beautiful we're talking about this now because... Because first of all, when people hear mental health, the first thing that comes to mind is depression.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually deeper than that. And I think it's beautiful we're talking about this now because the first wave that hit us was Corona.
Yeah.
We have people suffering from OCD. How do they handle that situation?
Yeah.
Then we saw the death of George Floyd. Then racism kicked in. And it was just a situation, oh, wow, Corona is dead already? Shit, like...
Mm.
So yeah, I think this is just... perfect time to actually talk about it and voice our opinions. And like OVO said already, that we'll try and be a bit vulnerable today and hopefully get our opinions heard. And yeah. So before we dive into this, I have a couple of facts for y'all.
I
have one statement to make too, before we dive into this. It's kind of for us, but like they might as well hear it, you know, in the spirit of being open and transparent.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the feedback I've been getting is that we're always interrupting each other. That we should try to let
everybody.
Like we try to let the person that's
get
talking.
Just go sweet.
Yeah, you know, I'm not surprised they just come out. But
yeah.
We'll try to.
Well, yeah, we've been trying.
Yeah,
to let each other talk.
We're trying. Yeah.
All right. So over to you on the facts.
So yeah, I have some facts. I tried to get some facts from Nigeria, obviously, because predominantly from Nigeria. Let's support our country. Then we'll talk about the US too. So the fact about Nigeria, it's not too much, but I reckon it's from a teaching hospital in Ahmadu Bello University. And it's the first one states that 30% of the population suffers from mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
That's equivalent to at least 54 million people are dealing with mental illness with little or no help.
Mm.
The second option is fewer than 10% of those battling mental illness have access to mental illness. And the access to this is limited only to the cities. Obviously, if you're from Nigeria, you know Nigeria is predominantly rural.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from Lagos and Abuja.
Port Harcourt.
Why they do Port Harcourt? I'm a PH boy. No,
yeah,
no,
yeah,
no,
yeah,
no,
yeah,
no,
that's
why
that
why
you know, sorry,
PH.
But most people don't live in the city.
Exactly. Most people predominantly don't live in the cities. And another one that shocked me, there's been no update to the laws regarding mental health in Nigeria since 1958.
Whoa!
When did Nigeria get their independence?
1960.
Okay, just food for thought.
Before
so most likely we're still working with our colonizers.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah, what told you about your mental health? What white people told you about your mental health?
Is what we're still working.
Is what we're still working.
Wow. What they used in there. Let's make it
that
look just...
Today is not for that.
Yeah,
it's weird that we always come back.
We always go back.
So that's like the major fact I could get for Nigeria. Then for the US... US has more than 43 million Americans struggling with mental illness. One in five young people between the age of 13 to 18 has or will develop a mental illness in their lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
Wow.
Youth depression rates have risen from 5.9% to 8.2% since 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Depression symptoms can impact performance in school and interfere with personal relationships.
Yeah.
Yes. Hold on one second, let me see. I'm just trying to find something interesting. Okay, more than one in four adults living with serious mental illness also struggles with substance abuse.
Okay.
So yeah, this is just a couple of facts that
yeah.
I thought would be nice for us to lean on to just
yeah.
manage the situation. And but whoa, funny thing was the one that caught me, the Nigerian one, that since 1950.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. So let's talk about Nigeria. Let's talk about
generally
the way mental health is viewed in Nigeria first.
That's the first thing you want to talk about?
Yeah, because then that will kind of also inform like, how we would address
it
in
yeah.
America.
Okay, so in Nigeria, the only thing about, it's not, you can't even say mental health. I don't think there's anything called mental health. You're a mad person and you are roaming the street. That's it. Or you're in Yaba left.
Yeah.
And that's literally it.
Yeah.
You see a mad person and your first thought, that you see the way... You see somebody who is mentally ill on the road, and your first thought is not even, oh, how can we get this person help? Or, oh, that's a mad person. Let's avoid it.
Let's avoid it.
You know?
Yeah.
And these people are, and it's so common. Like, if you think about it now,
yeah.
it's like, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. And people like, it's a shame thing.
Mm-hmm. It's like a shame thing. And the way we talk about it is like, you insult somebody, guy, you go about left, or are you mad? Or you know, those things are important. The way you talk about, because even if you are joking or you're serious, you're insulting somebody, madness is an insult.
Yeah.
And they say mad instead of mentally ill. And those things actually, so essentially, we don't even have mental health, like, as a concept in Nigeria.
I think for the most part, growing up in Nigeria, because I grew up in Nigeria,
if you don't know,
I moved out of Nigeria when I was 25, man. So I grew up in Nigeria, for the most part in Ogun State.
The ends, you know.
So I think growing up in Nigeria was very weird, especially not always being happy and not being able to explain why you were not happy, right? Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't even say this is what you were feeling because you couldn't put it into words. And I just remember interactions with my parents a lot of the time where they could tell something was wrong, but they didn't know what was wrong and they couldn't vocalize it. Mm-hmm. They didn't know how to address it. So their interpretation of it or even things that they said was very... It made it even harder to want to even speak about it. Do you know what I mean? Like, what did they do you? Why do you squeeze face like that? You know, it was kind of... And then later they'll come like, are you okay? Are you sure you're okay? But like when they say, are you okay? They don't even say like, are you okay? Like, are you good? Like, but it's like, are you okay? Like with that face, like what's doing you? Do you know what I mean? So it made it harder to want to even talk about it, even if you consider talking about it. So, and you hear a lot of, you have, when you finally start to have, the thing about dealing with mental health issues, it's not just the random mad person on the streets.
Yeah.
It's really to a lot of different things, right? So it might be a very small issue that you're dealing with compared to someone else's bigger issue, but either which way, your mental health is at risk at that point in time, right? So when you finally, you tend to want to feel like it's only you going through that thing and that issue, and that's kind of the problem that comes with mental health. And that's why being able to talk to someone, preferably someone who's a professional, but just being able to talk to someone in general goes a long way, because the way you, when you get singled out and you get moved away from what's going on, you feel like you're on your own by yourself, and then there's nobody to help you through it, and then all that rubbish. But the climate around Nigeria is such that it's so difficult to even want to talk to anybody around it, just because of the way it's viewed. And then when you finally have conversations with people, you find that like everyone's going through shit together, and everyone feels like they can't talk to anybody, even though we're all, do you know what I mean? Even though we're all experiencing this, even though we're all fighting through it, it's like, but nobody gets what I'm going through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, we've been talking about cutting each other off, so that's why I raised up my phone. That's why I raised up my phone.
Yes.
Like, everything Ovo said is beautiful. Like, growing up in Nigeria, I think the lifestyle of Nigeria, like, have you been, remember Lagos traffic? Like, there's no time to actually take your time to vent.
Yeah.
And Ovo said something, by the time you actually come out, people perceive you in a particular way. But do you know the power of me too? Oh, I'm suffering from something, that Shola goes, me too. Oh my God.
So
No,
that's a lot of power too.
I saw Shola's face. That's what I was like.
That does have a lot of power. I'm actually gonna have an episode on rape culture and all that in Nigeria, but that's a different episode.
You want to say me too for that? The rape culture?
That's what he thought.
No.
Say I as well.
Because I think I remember, just from what you were saying, I remember I used to be a lot bigger in my Christianity than I am right now, so God forgive me, I'm coming back.
You've been baptized how many times again?
Leave my top. But I used to be very big in my Christianity, and in Lagos especially, I used to, you know, lead ministries in church, right, at a point, and we had this one thing for like a lead team, like sort of like a retreat kind of thing that I and Damo, been a while, we organized. Actually, everybody knows his brother. So I and Amala were supposed to organize this thing, and we went all, like, we had planned this thing. We're bringing Xboxes, PlayStations. We had the bouncy castle. We had like stuff going on, and I won't lie to you, right? Like, everything was good the night that we went to bed, and this thing in question was supposed to happen like 9 a.m. the next morning. So it wasn't like daytime in the day. It was supposed to happen 9 a.m. the next morning, and
by the night that we went to bed at like 12 or 1 or whatever, everything was good. And then we woke up and somehow, some way, every single thing that we had planned fell through. Nothing could be delivered. I'm not just talking about one, two, or most. I'm talking about everything.
That's
everything
crazy.
Fell out of the way, right? And it's a bunch of us sitting in this room and we're like, yeah, so everything we had planned, nothing's going to work. So what are we going to do? So I kind of just got up and I was like, because I was leading and organizing. They like handed it over to me and I kind of just got up. I was like, all right, I think God has a reason why everything fucked up today. I don't think that's a normal occurrence. I feel like this is supposed to happen for a reason. So what we're going to do is, I mean, we know each other, but it's like how far, but like we're just going to go here and just talk and just get to know each other well, like in depth. And by the time we were done in that room, like people were crying because like people started to talk and one thing led to another thing and people started to share, and there was a lot of experiences
that's
that like
divine.
we were going through similarly
similar
and
things.
it was amazing that everything fucked up, because if it didn't we would have had a very
game.
Fun day but we would have never got to do that, right? Right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think that was the moment for me where it was very eye opening to see that like it was a room full of people, like 20-30 people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was going through something similar.
Mm-hmm.
And we worked together in like church ministries and did a bunch of things and could never imagine that like this person was dealing with what I'm dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So and that's why talking about these things is really important.
Yeah. And I'll just like to say, first things first, growing up in just living in Nigeria is trauma.
Yeah.
Just existing in that country every day is traumatic.
Yeah.
From waking up to no electricity,
yeah, everything
with 100 mosquito bites on you, it seems small. Then you don't have water to bath, you're stressed already.
Yeah.
You go and get fetch bucket of water, you share, take a bowl to brush your teeth, then use the rest to shop to bath.
Oh,
then you get in traffic.
Stop
you, see,
me
you see, I'm giving you PTSD.
That's like high school all over again, university, man. No cap, university, man.
Just by 8 a.m., you are under immense stress. By 8 a.m.,
yeah.
And then the whole day continues that way every day.
Yeah.
So like that's the first. So like understanding like growing up or living there is an extreme sport. And I'd like to make it more personal. I guess we'll go back to when I was in Nigeria and then here as well. When I was growing up, I think I experienced, and I don't know why, but there was a point in time where I was just very angry. I would like just blow up. There was a day I slammed my door so hard I was locked in there for like,
what door, like
my bedroom
door,
okay. At home, I think my mom or my dad pissed me off and I went home and I slammed it, and it slammed so hard that the door was jammed.
Mm.
No key could open it. No, I was locked in there for a long. I think we had to call the carpenter to come and open the door. That's how hard I slammed it, and that's because I was just angry. I don't know why I was angry, you know.
Thank
so like that kind of stuff, or like. There was, in fact, for a long time growing up, I used to think I was ugly. Like, I would look in the mirror, I was like, man, guy.
Allow me, please.
Yeah, no, it's okay. Yeah, we understand. I'm grateful for how I look. Thank God for growth. But, like,
you gotta do one of those.
It's crazy.
Challenge pictures.
Yeah, it's crazy because. And I didn't talk to anybody about these things. And I don't even know if it's like mental fortitude or what. But one day I just looked up in the mirror and I looked at myself and said, guy, you are not ugly. You're actually extremely handsome. And I was just talking to myself in the mirror. And
so
since that day, my confidence just skyrocketed. I don't even know how or what to switch. But like, not everyone can do that. And there's people today that still have image issues, anger issues that are just unaddressed. Yeah.
You know?
No.
When I was laughing at you, it's because it's funny.
Yeah, but.
But I won't lie. I've gone through that before.
Yeah.
And it's funny because
we all have.
Yeah.
Why mine was funny because in high school, in university, y'all just called it Nigeria. Remember Dynamics Awards for university? Yeah, most handsome from my university. I was nominated for like 2 years.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. But it's funny how people see a fine guy, and I'm looking in the mirror, and I won't lie, all I see is flaws.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm like, imperfection, like, yeah, this your nose is big.
Mm-hmm.
This your head is oval.
Yeah.
Like,
what
shape is that? I was like, that seems like the right shape.
Like,
I've
been there before, and I want to give a shout out to MANI. I think MANI stands for Mental Awareness Nigeria Initiative. Yeah,
okay.
An NGO founded in 2016. So now I was struggling then, and I found them. So they tried to connect a lot of people to professional services.
Wow.
And they try to make it okay for you to speak up and just try to destigmatize the whole concept of mental health. So yeah,
this is the time where free clout is allowed.
Shout out to Manny for that.
So I think, like, I can definitely resonate, like, all around the room, because for me, first of all, I grew up really feeling, I've said this a couple of times on the podcast, but I grew up with an inferiority complex, right? Mm. I grew up just feeling worse than everybody else, like, not as attractive as everybody else. I always just felt like I was ugly. And then people would be like, ah, fine, boy. And I'd be like, ha ha, ha ha.
Yeah, you would laugh
jokes. Jokes.
Right? And I always just thought, like, my head was, like, oddly shaped and my nose was too big. And I still, somehow still think all of those things. But, like at the end of the day, like, I'm smarter than most people, so like, fucking
consolation.
That's the consolation. I'm just like, okay, you're fine, but like, do you have money? Okay, you have money. Okay, but like, are you intelligent?
Yeah.
And you're intelligent. Okay, okay. It's not you. I'm fighting with.
Leave me. Yeah, leave me alone.
You. But nah. But So yeah, and I think growing up was always funny to me because you would think the way I grew up, like, life was going to be amazing, right? Because I grew up in a household with, like, really wealthy parents. Shout out to my dad again, you know, turned out, came to Lagos and hustled and made that bag of money and then, turned it to two bags and then three bags. And
I never stopped.
And we've been eating Gucci ever since.
Never stopped.
I grew up in a household where, like, my parents were really wealthy and my father wasn't the type of person to just like throw money at you. My father was always like, he'll provide the bare necessities, the rest, man, that's your business.
Yeah.
Like, I've paid your school fees, why are you stressing me? Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because he always just felt like if he provided everything, you would be,
exactly,
like you would be spoiled and that kind of thing, right? For whatever that's worth. But I think we had we had enough wealth that even when we didn't have that entitlement, because we know we wouldn't get, even if, like, my father would not answer you, right? And so we never really had that entitlement, or we never really just came out and just like showed that we were wealthy. But like, you couldn't see us and not think these people are rich. For example, like, you came to my house, you would see like cars all over the house, right? My father didn't buy any one of those cars. The bank gave me a car every 2 years. So they were free cars, he just parked them in the compound, right? But if you came to my house, you would see cars all over the place. You would think, oh my god, why do people have so many cars? Right, one of my father's friends used to say, this guy, you're spending all your money on cars, and he would just laugh. Like, I haven't bought a car in how many years?
Yeah.
Like, the last time my father bought a car was years ago. Do you know what I mean? I went to school dressed the most, and because I always like came to the US on holidays, and I would always come back late when I'm going to school. Like, not even all the way to Buffs. Like, even like down so. I'm talking about uniform. This guy, my uniform. I bought my uniform from Yankee. Like, my check shirt was a Ben Sherman long sleeve shirt that I used to fold. Do you understand? My Sunday white too, I bought it from Yankee, because like, I wasn't going to come back to school and shop. I wasn't going to buy a school uniform, so I always just kind of looked a little different. Like, you could just look at this boy and say, ah, this guy is rich.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I wasn't living any better than most people, at least I thought, right? And I used to, like I said, because I was always very shy, I wouldn't talk to people. I would never really shoot my shot, because like, I didn't know how to. And then like, girls would shoot their shot at me, and typically they were older, right? So we always just like, this guy get a lot of attention, your father has money, blah 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 blah. But for some reason, I grew up being alone by myself most of the time.
Yeah.
And I was just used to that mentality, right? Just in my own space, on my own, by myself. And that would kind of translate into my mental health in a way. And I grew up with having like a huge temper, like a very everybody in my family, right? And we've kind of fought our way to kind of deal with that. I think the only person that escaped was my sister, and I think it was because she was born at the tail end, when I guess things were kind of making more sense, and we were kind of fighting our way through dealing with random issues. And the household was calmer when my sister was born, so she didn't particularly grow up in that environment that the rest of us did. Right, but everybody in my household, from my dad, mom, myself, my brother is really the only one I still hope, you know, fixes up. But typically, so it took a lot for me to kind of deal with my anger issues. I used to get angry as a kid and go into my room and punch the wall till my knuckles would bleed, and I used to do that like twice a day.
Whoa.
So my knuckles were like fried growing up, right? So when I kind of became older, went to boarding school, from boarding school went to uni and had to like interact with people, you have to kind of start to rein in a lot of those like those behaviors, those tendencies around people, and it can be a good and a bad thing. So like if you're able to like interact with more people and you're able to talk to them about these things, right, it's one thing. But most of the time, and as it was in my case, instead of being able to interact with people, it just seemed to me like they won't get it. So it was mostly me just being superficial with people on the surface, and then when shit got deep, I was in my own space by myself on my own, instead of like confiding in friends, and it never seemed like there was any kind of safe space to do so. So it was always just difficult to kind of navigate that, but God prevailed.
Yeah, because I really like how the ball is rolling in the direction in which we are going. Everybody's getting vulnerable. So I want to throw it to the guys, then I'll say my experience also. Ovo has given us some experience. So my question to Ovo is, how did you maneuver the situation? What did you do? Then everybody else should just share their experience on how they handled it.
So there's a lot of different things. At the tail end of when I was in Nigeria, the first one of the things I did was I kind of made a list of things I didn't like about myself. And I kind of broke that into things I could change and things I couldn't change. And then things I could change, I tried to start to work on. I didn't really work on them until I kind of came to the US, to be fair, because Nigeria is just constricting in some kind of ways that you're just like, God, help me. But a lot of that I started to work on personally, just because I felt like, I was like, if I don't like this about myself, what am I going to do? Right? It's like, I can either change it or not change it. And then things I don't like, that I didn't like and I couldn't change, I'm still in the process of trying to accept them and just be like, these are part of what make me me. And I know that it's not going to be everyone's cup of tea, but like, there's going to be people that will understand, like, this is why you do this thing, or even relate to it on a deeper personal level and be like, all right, you know, I get it. And what I realized before was, before that, I was using too many things as coping mechanisms and putting those as, this is me being happy, this is me being chill, but they were really coping mechanisms, typically sex and drugs, to be honest. They were coping mechanisms for the things that I was, the things about me that I didn't like, right? And now, or rather, well, not now, but like going into now, but like I kind of realized that like I need to change these things instead of just finding ways around them. So it was really addressing them head on and trying to accept things I can't change and figuring out things I can change and being like, all right, you know, let's do something about this, man. Like, if you don't like that, you're skinny, get to the fucking gym and eat some food. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, stuff like that.
Okay, I can go. I don't think I've spoken.
You
said ways of coping. So, for me, right?
So first of all, what was your experience?
Yeah.
And how did you cope?
Okay, so I'll say, like, when I came to the U.S., right, at least from right after high school, my emotions kind of changed, right? Like, I guess I'll share a little bit, but I started to experience, like, a lot of depression, and then I didn't understand why. I knew I felt different, but I didn't know why I felt different. So I just remember feeling, and it was because in secondary school there was so much structure that it actually helped me, because there was no room for me to feel anything.
Lacking.
But there was no room for that introspection, right? So when I came to America, like, I started doing badly in school, and I couldn't focus, and I was like confused, because I was like, I thought I was intelligent. And school was like the only thing I was really good at. So
basketball.
I liked basketball. Basketball actually helped me, because what happened is that I kept repeating this cycle of like, try and then think I've gotten better and then fail, then try and think I've gotten better and then fail, right? But what I realized is, from what Ovo was saying, it's kind of like try to accept the things that you can change, right? And then just accept the things you can't change. And the way I see myself, the way I view myself is, the human being is an animal, right? We're animals, right? When you have a dog, right, if you train a dog a certain way to react a certain way, so if you train your body and your mind a certain way, they react a certain way. And every animal has needs. So, like Ovo said, I also had like a lot of coping mechanisms at the time. So I don't smoke weed anymore, but I used to smoke a lot of weed, and I used to just do a lot of dangerous, stupid shit. So, but just because it was kind of like the only way, when I was numb, it was the only way I'll feel anything. Mm-hmm. Right. And then basketball too. I used to play too much basketball. I still kind of do if I have a chance. When I say too much basketball, I'm talking about
run yourself into the ground
day, and I'll play like 3 hours. So it was. But the good thing about basketball was that in basketball I learned that basketball was the only thing I saw myself getting better at, mm-hmm. even though slowly. So I was like, I enjoy this. It's like I'm not getting better at school. GPA just up and down and mm-hmm. left and right. And I'm like, God, this thing doesn't make sense. But what I think I learned is just to know myself. I think for the most part, it's kind of like a lot of realizations came very late, like as late as like last year.
I'm sure that.
Nothing is running.
Ice maker.
Oh, ice. Okay. Yeah. I was so confused.
But yeah, that was kind of like what helped me. It was just trying to know myself, because one thing, like I was talking to my dad last week, and I was saying that, you know, we're talking about kind of these kind of things too. He was talking about like when he was growing up, because my dad and I are extremely similar. So he was talking about how him and his brothers, they just cooked through life. And then when he now saw me experiencing some of those things, how he tried to help me. But then the important thing a lot of times in life is, it's difficult to not feel alone if you never see yourself in the world, right? Mm-hmm. So if you feel, everybody is unique, but even when there's something about you that everybody else doesn't have, there are people that have those things, right? Mm-hmm. And if you may not have, community may not be visible, right? Yeah. And if you never see yourself in the world and you never see yourself succeeding, right? If you never see people like you succeeding, it's very difficult. Mm-hmm. So that can always make you feel like, oh, I'm by myself. You know, like what Ovo was saying, you know, like the people, they were all in church together, right? Like church is supposed to make you and heal you.
Yeah.
But they never had that healing experience in the church that they were working together until they started to see themselves in one another.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Wow, well said. Okay, so for me, I think I'll talk about what I've been able to deal with and maybe something that I'm still dealing with right now. Like I said before, I used to have like serious anger issues as well. Just like, I didn't punch the wall as much. I did sometimes, but like I would just be mad and angry. And also the image issues. And I wouldn't say I'm as methodical as him. I don't know, it's so weird. One day I just said to myself, like, it's so weird. I just said, don't take things so seriously. Like, I just would just sit and just be like, why are you getting angry? Like, just smile. I actively started to smile more. Like, I told myself, you have a good smile, smile more. And I smile a lot now because that actually helped me just like, it's almost like, you know, when the clouds just kind of just go away. I just, you know, started to like smile more. If something bothers me, don't let it.
I think my smile is trash. I try to remember smile. If you see me on the street being angry, that's why. It's not because I'm angry, it's because
he's
I feel
just
like
happy.
No, but I feel like if I smile, you might call the cops.
Yeah. If I'm walking around, I look angry though. But like, I try to smile, and just generally, it's just like, I just be like, just make an effort to not let things get to you. In that, I mean, even if it bothers you, deal with it, but don't blow up. And then talk to more people. Like, I wasn't very social. It's crazy. On the flight here, when I was moving here, I moved here January 1st, 2012. So I left Nigeria December 31st. Mm-hmm. Abi, 31 days in December. Yeah. Today's
you know the song.
So I left Nigeria December 31st. In the air, we crossed into New Year's in that hemisphere. But then I flew here and crossed into New Year again. Then I landed and went
to back.
Yeah, I went to New Year twice. It's like when freshman year when they said, oh, you know, icebreakers, those nonsense things. That's what I would say, because I didn't have anything to tell those people. But but literally on the flight, I was like, damn, I'm moving to America right now. I'm like not coming back. I'm going to be living there. What do I want to do differently? On the flight, I thought that, and I legit made a decision on the way here to be more outgoing. And so, you know, in Nigerian culture and Christian culture, we go to church. So as I landed, we just showered, everything, maybe rested a bit, and we went to church for like a Thanksgiving service. And I just went into the youth church and I just became friends. And I just started talking to people. And it just kind of, so that's one thing. And then what I'm still dealing with now, and I'm even, the reason I'm talking about this is because I'm feeling it right now. Through college, I developed what I'm calling Sunday anxiety. Mm-hmm. Every Sunday, I go through anxiety. Because, you're going back into the week. Mm-hmm. And there's usually something due Sundays mm-hmm. in college.
Yeah.
And engineering school roasted me. And so it's become, right now I'm anxious. Like, I'm extremely anxious right now because it's a Sunday evening.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm not doing something that I'm supposed to be doing. And I still don't know how to shake that feeling.
Yeah.
Like, as of right now, I'm feeling it.
Yeah.
So, that's just something I'm still dealing with.
So, Sunday anxiety is very real, man. I don't know. I think after Tuesday, like, when Tuesday ends, that's when I finally get myself. Monday mm-hmm. and Tuesday. Mostly because, I don't know, Tuesdays were just the worst for me. Even in dance, so I hated Tuesdays for some reason. And then, but, like, normal Monday, like, the week is starting. But Mondays usually go fast, but Tuesdays would drop. And I've always like, fuck Tuesdays, man. And then from Wednesday, I kind of start to get this one be cool, right? But I think just in relation to what you said about how you kind of came here and, you know, decided you wanted to be, like, just more, like, friendlier, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't specifically make that decision. I kind of just, it's very funny when people say, I'm an extrovert because I'm really not.
Fun fact.
I'm really not. Like, I'm so far away from being an extrovert. It's ridiculous. Like, I've just been able to, I've mastered how to perform in public.
Yes.
And I've always been, so it's like even when people say I'm not shy, right? So as a kid, I used to sing a lot because, you know, people had to have not slapped me in the face yet. So I used to perform on stage, right? So stage fright wasn't my issue. Like, I could go out there.
We used to break dance.
I guess so. You don't remember that year.
I remember. I just thought you started.
Like, you didn't say anything about break dance.
But yeah, so I used to, performing on stage was never my issue. However, when it came to one-on-ones, I would piss myself, man.
Yeah.
And that's what I think people don't get about me, that like, they see me speak publicly and they're like, ah, you're so vocal. Ah, you can't be shy. And I'm like, it doesn't always work that way. Yeah. It doesn't always manifest that way. That like, when I'm speaking publicly, I kind of have, I've always had that confidence because I've always been on stage. I used to debate as well from primary school all the way in secondary school. Yeah. So I've always had that confidence to be able to speak in front of people. However, when I have to go into, when we get into a one-on-one situation, or God forbid that the situation starts to become very vulnerable, it becomes a problem for me. I don't know how to adequately communicate well. And so when I'm in groups of people, right, and I'm talking, and people are like, ah, man, this guy, you're shy. How can you be shy? Ah, this guy, you're such an extrovert. Ah, this guy, you're very noticeable. Ah, we noticed you from across the room. I laugh because I've mastered putting on that performance where I seem like I'm out there. I seem the thing I hear a lot is, ah, this guy, you be a really good leader. And I'm like, please don't give me responsibility. Yeah. I run away from responsibility when it comes, even though I know I should take it. So it's a lot of things like that. But when I moved to the US, I found that like my persona, or even my feelings about myself didn't necessarily get better. Even I think they did, but like, in small increments that like you couldn't really quantify it, right? Mm-hmm. But it was just the fact that my ability to just talk on things, right? And mm-hmm. I've always been able to, but now it's much so that there's so much attention paid to, with PC culture, I guess, and everything, but there's so much attention paid to how you deliver things right now that it just kind of made me have, I'm not going to say a platform, but it just made that like, wherever I went, there was a conversation to be had, and I was at the center of that conversation. And it just seemed like, oh, this guy is always out there. Oh, this guy, we know him, and da 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 da.
That's why
we
started the podcast. Do you understand?
Right? But personally, nothing necessarily changed about me. Mm. Like, I still, like, if you hit me up one on one, it's probably going to be, ha ha ha, what's up, what's good, and then I'm going to shy away from the conversation. I used to be that guy in high school who used to roll with the typically cool kids. But wasn't really contributing. Like, I wasn't really their friend. Like, I was in the group, but I was just there for vibes and jokes. Like, haha, you know, they will crack joke, ha ha ha, you laugh, but you're not really contributing to the conversation. You can't really say these are your friends. Like, Yeah. Like, if shit hits the fan, you can't really call these people because they don't know you, know you like that, and you don't really know them like that. You're just, you know, like the audience member when they write laugh. That's kind of who I was. But from afar, you see me and I think like, ah, this guy's always rolling with the cool kids, but like, I don't really know them like that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So,
Jeff,
I know, like, I think everybody shared their experience, and I think anger, depression, or whatever, but. I think I want to share something from, I think it's PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. That I've gone through about 2 or 3, then I've gone through depression a couple of times, but let me share the PTSD story. So the last time my shoulder popped, was I there? So first of all, to the listeners, I have something called shoulder disability. So essentially my ball and socket joints for both my shoulders can pop. And sometimes it goes back, sometimes I have to pop it back.
Oh, Jesus.
So, yeah. So, the first time Shola saw it, Shola was actually amazed. Like, wow, look at that. Look at that. Like, fucking specimen A.
Remember that guy? Like, there was the game, the last time Shola popped.
There was
a guy, this guy asked for help. The guy was like, no,
the guy was, like,
yeah.
My arm was...
Oh, no.
Have you seen Slim and what's that? Queen and Slim.
I still have it. I got it.
Remember the scene when Queen? Oh, you've seen my shoulder pop before, so never mind.
I've seen. Don't worry.
Yeah. So for y'all, I've seen Queen and Slim.
Like I've heard
the scene that when Queen jumped and she landed badly and her shoulder popped and her hand was just all over the place. That's me on a normal
day. On a Tuesday.
Yeah, on a normal day.
Oh, Jesus.
So when my shoulder popped when I was playing basketball, Shola was like, oh, look at that. Can you see this? I'm like, what?
I'm sorry.
I'm like, bro, help me.
Because that guy. That guy really looked at this guy and was like, this guy's crippled. I'm not going to touch him for the
change. That guy can't be careful.
I was like, no, I'm good.
I've heard of people that their shoulders pop, and I've seen people's shoulders pop a little bit when I play basketball. But when you lie, this happens, like, what?
Like on the casual day.
Jesus, wow.
So now imagine that, and back in 2013 or 2014, first of all, I used to enjoy swimming. So I was swimming, this popped.
Ooh, butterfly.
Freestyle, brother. Yeah. Butterfly doesn't really affect me, so it's a freestyle. Butterfly is this.
Breaststroke.
I'm getting mixed up, but sorry. So I was swimming and my shoulder popped, so I was drowning. One. It was my right, I will never forget.
Jesus Christ.
You have to just do this and wait. I'm just moving the circle.
I knew what was happening. But it came too fast. So I was drowning. I don't know where my brother was. I don't know where the lifeguard was. But my saving grace was at that point in time, I realized that if I dived from the deep end,
I should have
covered a considerable amount of distance. So I should be able to, I should be in the shallow end. So just try and stand. So in between my whole whatever, I just managed. So I just managed to walk. Then people now saw, like, what's going on? Then one Indian guy saw me. Eventually, I came out. So in between people trying to get me out, the bastard just went back in again. Okay, no problem. Came out. Then the Indian guy happened to be a doctor, and he told me the solution. I'm not telling you the solution for my shoulder issues, but essentially, if I did what he told me to, I'd have been going off every time I went through metal detectors at the airport. So we didn't want that.
Yeah.
So after that, I went home, and weeks, maybe months, to be honest, I will be sleeping, and I will wake up in the middle of the night. I'm just hyperventilating. I'm having panic attacks. Like, it was so crazy. I couldn't take a shower, no cap. Because once I'm in the bathroom and the water touches my face.
It's crazy.
Once you take a shower, obviously, for that split second, you have to hold your breath. Yeah. So once I hold my breath in my mind, I'm in the pool.
Oh my God.
And I'm drowning. And I'm fucking standing in the shower and I'm drowning. And I'm hyperventilating in the bathroom. So I know my brother will listen to this guy, a bastard. When I wake up 2 a.m., you're sleeping, I feel like slapping you.
Like, why is this guy sleeping peacefully?
When I'm struggling. Like, my family, we struggle together. Wake up!
Can you see I'm in distress? You have these sweet dreams. Not on my watch.
So like, I don't even know how. Like, so certain times I could just drink my way to bed. I just noticed that going to bed was tough. And I think that's, first of all, now I even still have sleeping disorders. So I can be up to about 4, 5, 6.
Yeah, it does.
So I'm guessing that has rolled over till today.
Yeah. Wow.
The whole hyperventilating and being on the shower has stopped. How it stopped, I really don't know. I don't know how I handled the situation. All I know is with time, things got better and slightly easier. So I really don't know how I solved it, but
yeah.
Oh, wow. Does it hurt when it pops?
Till like the same one that popped till now, it still hurts. Like,
yeah, I don't hear, okay, you true, you're not there. You, the man is just screaming.
Yeah. It's bad.
It's only shout out to people like Bobby.
The ball
and
comes out of
know.
The socket.
It, like,
oh my god,
you can I can't describe
it's
it.
Like,
you can't
it's,
see it. Like it's just dangling.
It's just out.
And that last time, it didn't go back.
Yeah, yeah.
Shall I really try it? I'll like, shall I wait? First of all,
okay. So how do you even put it back? You just
hit
it.
You gotta force it in.
Like, the last time, shall I try
it back?
Y'all can see this, but shall I try to like push it? When shall I was doing this? It was going further down. So I had to shall I not do like this for me? Then he just right here. Yeah. So shout out to Charlotte for that.
Wow, that was just it was like,
oh man, that is an extremely tough life to
I think that's the second time I've seen it pop. The first time it popped, it popped briefly, but then I think
real quick, like
pop out,
like
yeah.
And there was one in UI. I've
seen it pop multiple times.
Oh, I've seen it before. Bobby and Tunji, my guys in University of Ubadan, were playing basketball. It's always basketball and swimming. So first of all, I stopped swimming. That was the last time I swam.
Wow.
Fuck swimming. I don't care if it's 2 feet. I'm not swimming. So the last time it happened in University of Ibadan, like this one, it popped.
Yeah.
I did everything. I went round. I went left. I went. My friend helped me. So eventually, I had to like put my hand in my front, put it in between my lap, held it down. And somebody like hit it from the back.
Slapped it from behind.
Oh,
and yeah, like, I'm going home.
So
you can imagine what was going through my mind then. So yeah, it's
wow.
Hey, Holmes.
Yes.
You're gonna ask
you
me something?
You have the floor.
No, I'm ready to share.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
Okay.
So oh fuck.
Probably
us. Yeah. I was going to start with one thing to note is that before being in this country, before I came here, I didn't experience anything at all. Like, no stress, no nothing.
Life was good.
I don't know how else to describe life was good, but it was fucking great. And it was just me and my mom. Me and my mom, because my siblings were here and my dad was in the village. But so I guess I miss being 16, because it feels like once I turned 17 in this country, everything just honestly. So I want to say a big fuck you to
United States.
To majority of the fucking Nigerians at UT Arlington.
Oh wow.
I also want to say that I am going to shed tears, but this is normal. This is normal.
I always wipes tissue paper.
Same space.
Okay, right now, look at you.
This is normal. So, I say the whole fuck you thing because IUT Arlington, the Nigerians, they are demons with, I don't know, they are just demons. But I think my whole situation is, I don't know how I ended up having any mental problems, but once I came here, it was just like everything was crashing. Like, I was fine with school, doing 4.0s, doing like 3.9 at the least, but at some point, like, it just got fucked up, and I'm not even sure when that point was. School was a problem. Everything just became a problem. Like, I couldn't think straight anymore. And I used to have this very close friend that could pass for my best friend, but that whole situation got fucked up. But before, she was the way I could cope with these things. So if I'm going through anything, I'll talk to her and I'll be fine. Because it was easier to talk to her because she kind of felt things I felt, or she was going through things I was going through, but she was just an easy person to talk to. And I'm going to say her name because she just had a baby, and I want to say congratulations. We're beefing. I don't know if we're beefing, but we're not talking. But yeah, congratulations. Her name is Chinecherem Ezigwe.
Full government.
Full government.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Congrats.
It's a baby girl.
Bouncing baby girl.
So, yeah, in school, she helped me go through shit. I even know how. But I think everything started in my sophomore year where, I feel like it started with my sex life. And once that got messed up, everything was just upside down. And the Nigerians at UTA did not help, because those people, if gossip was a person, it was all of them.
Yeah.
Like, they were horrible people.
People.
And it's the people you thought that were your friends, it was just bad. It was horrible.
Mm.
Anywho, I think at this point now, I'm very insecure about my sex life that, anytime.
I think you want to turn the volume down.
Shut up!
Wait, who said Google? Nobody said Google anything.
Please, off.
Yeah.
They are listening.
Yeah.
She said, I think you want to turn the volume down.
Oh, man. She said, you're being too loud.
She's like, Mel.
You're calling them out.
I want to turn this down a little bit.
So, I think now I'm very insecure about my sex life that, to all the partners I've been with, that before or during or after anything takes place, I tell a story, and
take your time
and each time I tell this story, it's a way for me to cope, I guess, being sexually active. I feel telling the story helps me be okay with where I'm at. And so basically all my partners know the story, and it's not intentional. It's because I can't help telling it, you know, it just helps me move on. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is I haven't gotten to a point where I can cope with my mental situation. When everything broke down, like while I was in school, UTA had this very helpful program where you would go to their therapist for a full week for free. And then I feel like that should have been a full semester.
Yeah, it should be the whole time you're there,
yeah,
honestly.
Yeah, sure. But they didn't have that, and so I just want to be rich, man, because honestly, if I'm rich, I won't have to be talking here. I'll just go to therapy. I think one thing I noticed about myself is if I'm not talking to someone that I don't know and doesn't know anything about me, I'm not comfortable talking.
Definitely.
When I was in therapy, I spoke to the lady, I would talk. And it helped so much. But if you ask me to share with you, it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I tell you bits and pieces, it's hard. It's always going to be hard for me to talk to you, because I know you care for me and all of that, but in my mind, you see me differently.
Yeah.
And I don't need any part of that happening, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, like, you're going to say, you know, it doesn't matter, all of that, but it does matter to the person that is feeling what they're feeling.
Yeah.
I also want to say thank you to my sister, Amarachi, because, well, thank you, and kind of fuck you too. because when I was going through what I was going through in school, she didn't really know the solution to my problem. So she assumed the solution was to tell my family, which was the worst idea ever. But the fact that she tried to fix things, I think, is what counts. But, you know, she didn't know how to help me at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also what I'm trying to put out there, is that Nigerian families, they're not the best to talk to. My family most especially. My brother is just, he's his own person. I think he thinks what he thinks, and he doesn't think anything outside what he thinks. He's so much like my dad, I'm like, fuck. Like, fuck you. But yeah, it's very hard to talk to family members when you're mentally ill or when you're feeling depressed or when you're going through shit. It's just, I think family members are the hardest to communicate with. Definitely. And then I feel like mental illness or depression or anything we're going through, like the source is always so different for different people, mm-hmm. but we all arrive at that same feeling, and it's very harmful. And heck, my source of depression was my sexual life, but added to that, now in this current time that we're in, when we started working from home, I was shattered. Like for 3 months now, I've been home. I can't tell you when I wake up in the morning excited. Like I just wake up like I'm awake. Why? Like this is, I don't want to be here. My job does not make it any easy. And if you know where I work, good for you. Just don't work there. My job does not make it any better. I'm ready to leave. And yeah, this corona is not helping still. Like there are just things that play a part in where I'm at right now, and I can't tell you that I've been able to fix it. It's still the way it is. I feel like I know that my solution is to talk to somebody that doesn't know anything about me, but that also requires
money
that I don't money that I don't have to fix the problem. But yeah, it's
wait, hold on.
I appreciate that.
Just when you finish,
wanted to say I appreciate you for sharing.
Hey guys, thank you for listening to the episode and for continuing to support Off The Real Podcast. We really appreciate each and every one of you. We know it was a very heavy episode. Mental health and any conversation around it is difficult to adequately navigate, but we had to speak from our personal experiences, and we hope someone can relate and find some of what we discussed today helpful. If you find that you need help dealing with your mental health, please contact Mentally Aware Nigeria Initiative, MANI, if you're in Nigeria, on the phone number 080-514-93163. And if you're in the United States, contact Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration at 877-726-4727. You can also speak with any other professional of your choice. We love all of you and hope you find the space and strength to tackle these issues, however big or small. Thank you.